of this recording, South Africa 39, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Comma Gets a Cure. Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much dearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit and headed for work. When she got there, there was a human with a goose waiting for her. The human gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, the itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Comma, Comma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her. But Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold onto Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. I can't imagine paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. I was born in Grassy Park, here in Cape Town. In those days, I think people were born at home. We lived in Grassy Park for a few years. I was totally spoiled by my grandmother, maternal grandmother. For the first few, I'd say 6-7 years of my life, I thought I owned everything. Everything belonged to me. I was totally spoiled rotten and I think overconfident. In some ways it did me good, in other ways not, because the next 4 years, from 6 to 10, I had to learn, when we moved away from my grandmother, that life is no longer what I want. There are other people, other forces and whatever. And I was lucky enough to realize that at that young age, so that I could adjust to the real life. You know, it made a big difference. It made me think more. I have learned a lot in those 4 years. I changed a lot of things in my life. I was no longer a kid. I was an adult by the time that I reached 10. I was responsible like an adult. I was acting like an adult. Everybody thought I was much older. In fact, today, everyone that meets us thinks I'm the eldest one in the family, even though I'm the third youngest. In 1994, South Africa changed. So a lot of people had to be retrenched so they could make a room for black people to come into companies. I was one of those, and happily I left and I decided to look elsewhere. Knowing that I could teach, I applied for jobs in Saudi Arabia. They took me. Initially, I was setting up work for teachers. And then afterwards, they said to me, "Don't you want to teach?" I said, "I'm very able. I can teach." And then I went to go teach in the classroom. An Arab child comes into my class with only Arabic background. By the time that I'm finished, by the end of that year, that child will read in English and speak English and understand what he's reading in 1 year. Because I used to, every lesson that I sat with, I used to change the lesson a little bit to create a sort of a game. And with playing games, it did magic for the kids. They all wanted to play. Nobody wanted to leave school early. Fairness come and fish come 10, 15 minutes earlier. That car child goes out and says, Dad, I don't want to go home. Please leave me till the end of the day because we're playing a game. I used to play a grammar game, spelling game, anything, maths game, whatever, and give the kids an opportunity. And then the brighter ones, I used to leave them with one that's not as bright. So that rubs off on each other and they help each other without realizing what they're doing. And it benefits all the kids because the brighter one reinforces what he learns and the one who doesn't know, he's actually learning something and understanding. And kids among themselves learn much better than with an adult trying to force it on them.